If you'll turn your Bible to 2 Peter chapter 2. Yeah, I think it's okay now. Thank you, Stephen and Macy and Julie. Turn to 2 Peter chapter 2, verses 1 through 10. The title of the message tonight, as we're continuing our study here in the letter of 2 Peter, the title of our message tonight is, "Not all that glitters is gold." And that's kind of an old saying. You know what that's really saying? It's not about knowing what's gold and what's not. What's that really talking about? What's that saying? What does that mean? How would you phrase it? Not everything is as it appears. And I think that is really applicable. This saying is applicable to what we're going to be talking about tonight. Things are not always as they appear. Not all that glitters is gold. And I want to begin by looking at 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 1. But I also want to read verses in chapter 1, verse 20 and 21. Because we talked about last week, the title of the message last week was "A More Sure Word." We were talking about the authority and the sufficiency of Scripture. And I want you to see the connection between what we talked about last week and what we're going to talk about this week. And so if you would please stand in honor of God's Word as we read this together. 2 Peter chapter, beginning in chapter 1, verse 20, and then going down into chapter 2, verse 1. The Bible says this, "Knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost." It's explained to us how we got Scripture, that ultimately the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost, is the author of Scripture, that men were writing as they were moved by God, and that God is the author of Scripture. And he goes on, "But there were false prophets also among the people." So we see that there's this true prophecy, there's these true prophets, but there were false prophets also among the people, "even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privily or privately shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction." Let's Lord in prayer together. Father, we thank you, God, for your word. God, we thank you that for the privilege we have to come together like this on Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, throughout the week, and to be able to study your word, God. It is so precious, God. And we realize that more and more every day, that God, in a world where things are not as they appear, as things are distorted, they're counterfeited, that God, it's hard to know what to trust. God, we're so glad that we have your word that is so clear, God, that is a pure light that shines, that gives us truth, and that, God, we can trust what you have said, God. And we thank you, Lord, for your testimony to us through your word. And God, we pray that we would read it carefully, we would study it carefully, God, to make sure, Father, that we are following everything that you have taught us. But God, we thank you, Lord, for this time together tonight. We pray your blessing upon it now, upon this message, and also upon our groups as we meet and discuss these things. And we just want to just take time out to say thank you, God, for all that you've blessed us with, Lord, here tonight. We want to pray for your Spirit, God, to be moving powerfully, God, here tonight in each one of us. But we pray and ask all these things now in Jesus' name. Amen. Be seated. So what Peter is communicating here is that basically this, as long as there has been prophecy and prophets, and by prophecy, basically I just mean this, God's message. Okay, it's probably the simplest definition I can give you, is that prophecy, if I come to you and I'm delivering a prophecy, it's not my message, it's a message from God, that God has given me to communicate to you. It is me delivering God's message. And so prophecy is God's message, and prophets are God's messengers. And there are true prophets, and there is true prophecy. But for as long as there has been prophecy and prophets, there has been false prophecy and false prophets. For as long as there has been true prophecy and prophets, there has been false prophecy and false prophets. That's what Peter is communicating here. And as we said last Sunday morning, the stakes are higher than life or death when it comes to eternal implications, when it comes to eternal things. False teaching and false teachers, it is extremely serious. False teaching is extremely serious. I'll put it this way. False teaching destroys people forever. In my mind, if I were to say to you, describe an evil person. Tell me, give me some examples of evil. But just because of the way we see things, the way that we see the world, the way that we experience the world as it stands right now, and there's things that are happening, there's realities that we don't experience. If you were to ask me and say, Jordan, give me some examples of evil, I might mention something like Adolf Hitler, thinking about the destruction, that he was instrumental in the destruction of 40 to 50 million lives. Joseph Stalin was also responsible. I think it was Hitler. It's kind of attributed 40 million people died because of Hitler and what he did. About 50 million died because of Joseph Stalin and what he did with communism. So these are examples that come to mind. Or maybe I might even talk about murder. Actually, my younger brother, there was a shooting at his workplace today, this morning, while we were meeting here. He hadn't gotten to work yet, but somebody, a former employee showed up, and we don't know the details of it, but there was a shooting, killed one of his co-workers, shot another co-worker, and then I believe a self-inflicted gunshot wound, then killed himself. We think about that as, you know, lives were destroyed this morning. And I think about that personally. That would be an example of an evil thing, to murder someone like that at their workplace, maybe in a deceptive way, or to get the drop on them, and to murder someone in your workplace. I think about things like murder. I think about child abuse as being things that are just, those are examples of evil, and they are evil. There's no question about it. Those are great examples of evil. But what doesn't usually come to the top of the list would be a false teacher. I think you could arguably say a false teacher is more evil than these other individuals. You see, they destroyed life. They destroyed lives. We don't get to see it yet. But a false teacher, I'll say it again, I just said it a moment ago. False teaching, false teachers destroy people forever. You destroy someone forever. When I misrepresent this book and the author of this book, you see, you understand there's no hope outside of this. This is the door, this is the gate to hope and to eternal life. And when I misrepresent Him, misrepresent His Word, I twist and corrupt His Word, I'm blocking the only gate that humanity has to a relationship with the infinite God. False teaching is serious. That's the point I'm getting at. You know, that's why the penalty for a false prophet in the Old Testament, you know what the penalty was? Death. Deuteronomy chapter 18, verse 20. What does it say? But the prophet which shall presume to speak a word in my name, this is God speaking, the prophet that presumes to speak a word in my name, which I have not commanded him. So he's delivering a message from God, but it's really not from God, it's his own message. He's not God's messenger, he's not got God's message, but he's making that false claim. But the prophet which shall presume to speak a word in my name, which I have not commanded him to speak, or that shall speak in the name of other gods, even that prophet shall die. That sounds extreme. We don't understand the full picture. God does. And we could read that. I'm sure that could be used as an example of saying, well, God, you know, I thought God was loving. That's why, you know, I love the God of the New Testament. This God of the Old Testament is harsh and severe and extreme. It wasn't because God doesn't love people that He said this, but because God does love people. And He knows that false teaching destroys people forever. It destroys. When you lead people away from God, you are leading them not just to destruction. You are leading them to eternal destruction. And God knows that better than anyone. So there have always been false prophets and teachers. We're reading here. Do you remember when the letter of 2 Peter was written? We assigned a year to it, approximately. When was it written? Anybody remember? Okay, 67 to 68 AD is when this is being written, just prior to Peter's death. So we know that there have always been false prophets and false teachers. There were false prophets and teachers in Peter's day back in 67 to 68 AD. But I also want to say this, there are false Christian prophets and teachers today. Do you understand that? Does everyone in this room understand that? And by the way, there's people who aren't in this room tonight that need to know this, they need to understand this, but they're not here. I would encourage you to talk to them about that, because there are false prophets and teachers today. Let me make this very clear. To be on the lookout for false teachers is not mean. When I say there are people who are false teachers, I'm not saying that because I'm mean and I'm wanting to insult people. To be on the lookout for false teachers is not mean. It's not mean-spirited. It's not closed-minded. It's not being judgmental. It's not being paranoid. It's not quenching the Holy Spirit. It is biblical. They're there. If you have such great love that you just couldn't say an unkind word about anyone, you could never call someone a false teacher, who am I to judge? You're not being biblical. The Bible has warned you, they are there. They are here. There are false teachers today, false Christian teachers. It is biblical. And it is to take the Bible and its warnings seriously. Peter is writing this letter to warn the Christians, there are false teachers. You have to be on the lookout. You have to be exercising discernment. There are false Christian teachers. There will, until Christ returns, there will be false Christian teachers. And I'm going to go a step further, and people will follow them. There will be false Christian teachers, and actually many people will follow them. Look at verses 2 and 3, and tell me if this isn't exactly what God is telling us. Verse 2, and many shall follow their pernicious ways. Did you read that? Many will follow them. And many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. And through covetousness, they shall with feigned words make merchandise of you, whose judgment now of a long time lingereth not, and their damnation slumbereth not. You notice it mentions there, and many shall follow the pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. You know what the way of truth is? That's Christianity. Understand what everything I'm saying tonight, I am not talking about atheism. I'm not talking about Islam. And I'm not talking about Hinduism. It is absolutely absent from this conversation. I'm talking about Christians. False Christian teachers. Atheism is false. Islam is false. Hinduism is false. But that is not what we're talking about. We are talking about those that, because of their teaching, the way of truth, which is Christianity, it used to be referred to as the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. These are false Christian teachers, giving Christianity a bad name again, and Christianity is the only way. But they're giving it a bad name and driving people away from Christianity and from Christ. Verse 3 is worded in kind of a difficult way, talking about covetousness and feigned words, merchandise of you. What verse 3 is saying is this. In their greed, in the greed of these false Christian teachers, in their greed, they will attempt to exploit you with false words. In their greed, they will attempt to exploit you with false words. That's the warning that Peter is giving his original audience, which I think falls directly to us today as well. And what Peter goes on to say here in verse 3 is that God is going to destroy them for what they're doing. They will be destroyed for what they're doing. It's important to remember that. Why? Well, let me introduce you to a couple. This is Kenneth and Gloria Copeland. Does anybody recognize them? Raise your hand if you recognize them. Okay. If you watch Christian television, you're going to see them. This is Kenneth and Gloria Copeland. Now, I want you to notice something. I don't know how well you can see in this picture. Do you see these two books in front of them? Are those copies of the Quran? Absolutely not. It's the same book that I'm holding right here tonight. Those are Bibles. Big, thick study Bibles. They're open in front of them. and they're going to read from Scripture, from the same Scriptures I'm reading from tonight. Kenneth Copeland claims to have won over 120 million people to Christ. Man, look around tonight. What are we doing? He claims to have won 120 million people to Christ. Christian, with Bibles open, reading from Scripture. Kenneth Copeland also claimed to blow the wind of God upon COVID-19. To execute, and this is a direct quote, to execute judgment. He executed judgment upon it. He blew the wind of God upon it. You can watch the videos on YouTube where he said, I blow the wind of God upon it. I execute judgment upon COVID-19. He declared it to be finished and over. Quotes, direct quotes. And that the U.S. is now healed and well again. Praise God. Praise God. What was the date? March 29th, 2020. Let me tell you how impactful this is. It didn't even matter. He still watched. It doesn't matter. March 29th, 2020. Again, go back and watch the YouTube videos. Don't take my word for it. I want you. This is his inglorious parsonage. I don't know how well that shows up. It's not a home. It's a parsonage. Because they don't pay taxes on it. What did we read a minute ago? And many shall follow the pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. Even lost people hate this. They hate it. And they mock it. And they should. I appreciate the ones who at least are willing to say, you know, I recognize. I've heard some scathing criticisms of this. And they're exactly right. And what I really appreciated was before they gave those scathing criticisms, these are lost people who are atheists, comedians, everybody makes fun of this. I really appreciate that some of them will say, I know this isn't every person who is a Christian. I appreciate that, but some don't. And there are people who see this, and when they see this, they see us. They're Christian, you're Christian, no thank you. I can go into more detail. But this is Kenneth and Gloria Copeland's parsonage. $6.3 million. And here's the thing. This is bought with tithes and offerings sent to them and their ministry. That was purchased, I promise you, with tithes and offerings. If you've given to their ministry, you bought that. That's a pretty modest home. That actually is a modest home for them. He has a $20 million jet. That's just $6.3 million. Do you know the estimated net worth of Kenneth Copeland? Somewhere between $300 and $750 million. And he will profess as a testimony, I'm a very wealthy man. He's 84 years old. I say all that to say this. It sure seems like they're getting away with it. It sure seems like they're getting away with it. They don't have to pay taxes on this. They're not. They are not. There is a judgment of God. That's what Peter's saying. There is a judgment of God. Peter goes on and gives three historical examples of God's judgment. Look at verses 4 through 8. Three historical examples that God is not playing around. Verse 4, for if God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved until the day of judgment, and if He spared not the old world, but saved Noah, the eighth person or one of eight people there in the ark, spared not the old world, but saved Noah, the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing the flood upon the world of the ungodly. Verse 6, and turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned them with an overthrow, making them an example unto those that after should live ungodly, and delivered just Lot, or only Lot, vexed with a filthy conversation of the wicked, for that righteous man dwelling among them, in seeing and hearing, vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds. He's saying that Lot did that to himself by putting himself in that environment, that he vexed his own righteous soul as he was delivered there from Sodom and Gomorrah, or from the city of Sodom. God, or as Peter's writing this, God, he's giving three examples of God exercising judgment. The fallen angels, the pre-flood humanity, and Sodom and Gomorrah. The message is this: God is not playing around and He's not missing anything. There is a judgment of God. That's the message. Look at verses 9 and 10. It says, "The Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptations, and to reserve the unjust unto the day of judgment to be punished. But chiefly them that walk after the lust, but chiefly them that walk after the flesh in the lust of uncleanness, and despise government." I mean, that government, I'm sure that's one that could be exploited and misused, but it's talking about authority, just authority in general. And despise authority. That can be governmental authority, political authority, authority within a church, but they despise authority. "Presumptuous are they, self-willed, they are not afraid to speak evil of dignities." As we close tonight, in light of everything that we're reading here and what Peter is warning the Christians there in Asia Minor of what's happening, and we see the exact same thing happening in our day, there's three words I want you to remember tonight. And we're not seeing it in our text tonight, but this is really what Peter is getting at. And that's what he's getting at as he talks so much about the Word of God, the Scriptures, the Word of God last week, the authority of the Word of God, the sufficiency of the Word of God. This is what he was getting at. This is the way Paul puts it. 1 Thessalonians 5:21, prove all things. Three words. Prove all things. Hold fast to that which is good. Prove all things. Put everything to the test. That is what Christians are commanded to do. I want you to look at the context of this. Look at verses 19 and 20 along with it. 1 Thessalonians 5:19 through 21. Quench not the Spirit. Despise not prophesyings. Prove all things. Hold fast to that which is good. Now those are standalone statements that Paul's making as he's closing out his letter to the Thessalonians. But I want you to see the context. It is in the context of prophecies. Those claiming to speak on behalf of God, that is the direct context when he says, put everything to the test, prove all things, hold fast to that which is good. Not all that glitters is gold. And actually that prove all things, the literal example of that is testing different metals to see if they really are what the person is claiming them to be. It's putting metals to the test. And that's why I title this tonight, Not All That Glitters Is Gold. Put everything, every claim, every person, including myself, and what I say and what I do, this church, put everything, every claim, every person to the test. Kenneth and Gloria Copeland are easy, obvious examples. I could also look at Benny Hinn, Creflo Dollar, Jesse Duplantis. There's a documentary on Netflix, if you have Netflix. I think it's called The American Gospel. I would encourage you to watch it. That's the garbage that's going on in the name of Christ in America, and it's being exported, and it's taking over South America and Africa and Asia. It is a false Christianity taught by false teachers. I could also look at Benny Hinn, Creflo Dollar, Jesse Duplantis, the list could go on. These are easy, obvious examples. But I want to say this tonight, I want you to listen. Some are not as easy to spot. I have known local Baptist pastors and local Baptist evangelists that were about two things, and neither one of them was Christ. They were about money and crowds. End of list. Not all that glitters is gold. We are to put everything, every claim, every person to the test. We're going to talk more about false teachers next week, and that's what the main theme of this letter is. But we're going to close with that tonight and split off into our groups.